Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What you're about to hear is a life-changing word from God through Pastor Steve O. Allen, Sr. of Destiny Christian Center in Laplace, Louisiana. Enjoy the message and be blessed in the Lord.
Last week, we taught a lesson on forgiveness or unforgiveness. And he specifically said to me that a lot of folk haven't received their healing because of unforgiveness. I also encouraged you to pray and ask God to show you yourself. Because, you know, I after praying and everything, the Lord started dealing with me about teaching it. Then I had a dream about some folk that hurt me. I got mad in the dream, and then I woke up furious. And the Lord says, you haven't totally forgiven. So I had to really release. Then he said something to me that I want to say to you. When you forgive somebody, make sure that you never utter another negative word about that person. Because for you to keep talking negatively about that person means that you still have something in your heart. So I want to encourage you to really, really pray about people that you may have in your heart. We're going to deal with something today, but before I go into it, I want you to know, as it relates to forgiveness, you don't have to feel forgiveness. You just got to do it. Ask yourself how you would act towards a person if you had forgiven them. And then, with God's help, choose to act that way. Yes. Now, I want you to understand this. Forgiving someone does not mean brushing off their misconduct or saying that it's irrelevant. So what I'm saying is, I'm not really suggesting that you go around saying, really, it's okay that you let the air out of my tires. It's okay that you poisoned my dog. It's okay. It's okay that you spread a rumor about me on the job. That's okay. I didn't have to know where to go that day anyway, and the dog was getting on my nerves, and I've been thinking about getting a new job in a different city anyway. So it's okay. Forgiving someone means knowing full well that the offense was wrong, and then deciding to relinquish your feelings of being entitled to make them pay. Now, in last week's lesson, one of the points that I made was unforgiveness opens the door for bitterness. And we talked about bitterness earlier this year, but we're going to deal with it some more this morning, because what I've discovered is this stuff can play possum. Young folk are looking at me like, what's playing possum, mama? It can lie dormant, or it can act like it's not there. And then at the moment you don't want it to show up, it'll show up. So we're going to deal with it. Now, this is the first Sunday in December, and we're getting ready to cross over to 2018. We ain't going into 18 with this stuff. Amen. We have to get our hearts right. Tell somebody, say, we have to get our hearts right. Now, I really believe that the Lord has me dealing with this today, because there are a lot of folk that come to church Sunday after Sunday masking their problems rather than really getting delivered from them. And bitterness is one of those things that we put a mask over rather than admitting it in order that we might omit it. And the sad thing is, religion has taught us to cover it up, because to admit it, then you don't look like you're walking by faith. So instead of us really dealing with it, we just cover it up so no one knows what we're dealing with. We have our little religious smiles. We have our little religious sayings. And we're masking stuff that we need to get rid of. It is the will of God for you to be here. And it's his will that you access the power that's available to you to heal you of this thing. See, it's not God's will for you to pretend that this issue is not there. It's God's will for us to tap into his power and to his grace and deal with this problem and find healing. Tell somebody, say, deliverance is here for you today. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalms 34. And we'll read verses 18 and 19. We'll read it in the King James Version first, and then we'll skip down and we'll read it in the Message Bible. Psalms 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." The Message Bible, listen to what the Message Bible says. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you to catch your breath. Disciples so often get in trouble, still, God is there every time. Can anybody testify that God's there every time? Now, I want you to look here. The writer says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. In other words, the devil is always coming against the righteous. And he'll use whatever or whoever he can to come against the righteous. Now, that 18th verse says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." When your heart is broken, God is right there. When your heart is broken, God. Now, what is a broken heart? And I'll define broken. It means to break. It means to violently tear. It means to crush. But this is the one that I really want to get. It means to cause something to break out, or to cause something to break out and bring something to birth. Cause something to break out and bring something to birth. It's like when a bird hatches. The eggshell is broken, and something comes forth. And what I'm saying to you is, when your heart is broken, it's just like that shell being cracked. And you have to be careful, because when your heart is broken, you have birthing potential. When your heart is broken, you have birthing potential. And what you do at that time, or what you do at the time of the break, can determine your destiny. You can allow it to birth bitterness, or you can destroy it right there and leave it in your past. Please take the second part. Destroy it right there and leave it in your past. Listen, there are two conditions of the heart that nobody can hide. One is a heart that's filled with love. The other is a heart that is infected with bitterness. And as believers, we've got to make our highest quest to possess hearts that's full of God's love. Listen to this statement. The true measure of our Christianity is how successful we are at revealing the love of Christ. It's not how much you shout. It's not how many tongues you speak in. If you really are a true Christian, your true test is how much are you revealing Christ to this world.
Amen. Amen.
Can people really see God in you?
Yes.
You know what? You know what bitterness is? It's unfulfilled revenge. It's when revenge is not satisfied to the degree that you desire. In other words, it's when we don't feel like the person that wronged us has suffered enough. Here's a question. How do you feel when the person that has mistreated you has something to happen to them? Oh, there's a hush over this room. How do you feel when the person that has mistreated you, you get a call and you find out that their house has been foreclosed on? How do you feel when the person that mistreated you, and you find out that they're on hard times? How do you feel? Come on, it's just us in the room. Come on, let's just be real about it. How do you feel? Are you saying, "Lord, please, Lord, I know they mistreated me, God, But Lord, give them another chance. Lord, bless them. God, please supply their need. Is that you? Or are you quoting, God don't like ugly? Come on, really? Come on. Come on. Hey, how many, by show of hands, when I said it at first, how many of you thought, God don't like ugly? Come on, let me hear. Come on, let's be honest. Come on, they got some lying going on in here. You all on the phone? What happened to you?
You can't do God's children like that without something happening to them. I told them, you know, the Bible said don't touch God's anointed and don't do the prophet no harm. I ain't no prophet, but I know some.
Let me ask you some questions that will kind of give you the bitterness test. Has someone ever said or done something to you for which you find it difficult to forgive them? Every time their name is brought up, even if it's been years ago, it still makes you feel a little queasy. When you think about them, your heart rate increases. Your blood pressure rises. When you think about what they said, or you think about what they did. Anybody in your life done you wrong, and you could be in here today shouting and praising God, and they walk in? What that heifer doing here? Heifer's a cow. I'm in here trying to enjoy the Lord, and the devil gonna show up in church. What they come here for? Boy, the devil ain't no. Boy, the devil busy today. Now took all my joy. Who is that person? Who is that person that could walk in and change your total attitude, even in church? Who is that person? Who is that person? Well, you could be enjoying a good day, and you fool around and see that you can see him in traffic. This is the day. This is the day. That's the one. That's the one. That's the one you need to let go of. That's the one you need to release. Mm-hmm. Another way you can discover whether you are in bitterness or not is bitterness remembers details. Now, most of what's been done, what was done to us, we've forgotten a long time ago. You don't remember the details of most events. But when you're bitter, you remember every detail. Anybody know I'm telling the truth? Come on. Every word that was said, the tone of the voice. No, I know how you said it. I remember. I can still hear it in my head. The time and the place where it happened. Because you reviewed it 1,000 times in your mind. And it's affecting you, and you may not even know it. You remember the details. I'm going to tell you what happened in the last service. So I was talking about, my wife and I have been married almost 34 years. We've 34 years in February. So I was talking about how we were broke. I was telling the church this, we were just talking about, because I was celebrating some of the folk that were celebrating the anniversary. And I said, man, we got married on a Saturday morning after a miracle service at church. We ain't have no money. We went to the back in the fellowship hall for our reception. People from the church brought food because we was broke. I had a rented Cadillac that I rented to drive to Biloxi to the Holiday Inn. We ate Wendy's for our dinner that night. And I had to hurry up to get back home because I had to turn the car back in. So I was just telling all of that. And my wife blurts out,
"And your brother was there."
Oh! Hey, almost 34 years. Your brother was there. She didn't say it with a smile on her face, like, "And your brother was there." You cannot defend yourself. Ma'am, you're disturbing the service. Will you please sit down, ma'am? What? Okay, what?
Okay. Please let me defend myself. I was a little bitter. Back then, we're talking about almost 35 years ago. 34 years ago. I've released that and let that go. Okay. The reason why I brought it up this morning, y'all want to know why?
Please.
Because now that I think about it, it's very hilarious that your brother will come on our honeymoon and bring his wife and spend time with you when it was supposed to only be you and I. Right? One other thing. That's why it's called honeymoon. It's for me and you, honey. Right?
Okay. So. Excuse me. So here's the truth. Now, you have to be absolutely blind not to see how the tone of her voice changed. Oh, man, look, you can hear the business. She starts off, yeah, and you're on there, Please, ma'am, please. I'm going on to my next point, ma'am. Hey, I bet you she know what color clothes he had on. Let's go back to our scripture, Hebrews 12. This is the scripture we used on last week. Hebrews chapter 12. Glory to God. 12 and 15, praise the Lord. So you have Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15. Y'all get on in here. Some of y'all clap for her. I ain't never saw you clap in church before. Standing up and down. Verse 15 says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness," we read this last week, "springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled." Now again, you'll notice it says the root of bitterness. Bitterness is under the surface. Bitterness is hidden. In other words, you can hide it for a while. But eventually, it'll spring up because you can only act so long. Now, notice it says this root of bitterness will spring up and trouble you, not the person that you're mad with, but it's going to trouble you. You're in bondage. They are free. Now, we read earlier that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. God gets close to you when your heart is broken. But when you allow the seed of bitterness to develop in your heart, God then views you as the offender. Oh, that was that. You weren't ready for that. See, if you allow bitterness to come into you, into your heart, because somebody wronged you, you then put yourself in their position. See, we've got to get to the place in our life where we have such a God awareness that whatever happens to us, we cast our cares on him. Now, that's easy to do in church when we're all here together. God, I cast my cares on you. Bible says you cared for us. So I'm leaving it with you. And that's what we do in church. Oh, we're doing it. And so as soon as you get out of here, God, I need to get that out of you. Give me that back. I miss my little bitterness. Let me show you something. Go to James 4. James 4. Find that. 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. Some of us, man, we don't even feel right when we're free.
Right.
Something wrong. You can wake up free and looking for something wrong. Something bound to happen. I don't know. I just feel too good. James 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let me stop there for a second. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why is he there? Why is he still around? Maybe we're not resisting. Maybe we're entertaining. The Bible is clear. It says if we resist him, he'll flee. But he's not fleeing because we're not resisting. We're entertaining those thoughts that he puts in our heads. Oh, see, when you know it came from the devil, you need to say, I resist that. In the name of Jesus, I'm not gonna think those thoughts. You've got to resist it, and the devil will flee. The reason why he's around is because you're not resisting. The reason why he's in your home is because you're not resisting. You're not resisting, and see, a lot of you're not looking at him for who he is. You're looking at another person, thinking that they're your enemy, and it's not them, it's the spirit that's behind them. And see, you're looking at the surface stuff, but it's deeper than the surface stuff. So y'all are fighting each other. I said yesterday, man, I see so much negativity on social media, and I get tired of seeing it, and I see preachers fighting preachers. Talking about preachers and bringing each other down, and while they're doing that, the devil is applauding. He's going on to somebody else. He said, you got you. I'm going to go get somebody else. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So we've got to resist the devil who's trying to plant the seed of bitterness in us. And the way we resist the devil is by drawing close to God.
Yes.
See, when you find bitterness trying to creep in, get close to God.
Yes.
The enemy is always going to do what he can do to rob you of your testimony and to rob you of your witness. See, if you're walking around with bitterness in your heart, your testimony is powerless. The world won't want to hear anything that you've got to say because the gospel you're preaching is not working on you. You're losing your witness with this spirit of bitterness. You're the one in the office always fussing. You're the one that's always got a problem with somebody. And then you want to talk about, won't you come to church with me Sunday? For what? You're causing all this hell on the job, and then you want to get on Facebook like you're just such a wonderful person. You got to get rid of this bitterness, man, because you're losing your witness. Think about it. You think it's cute that you tell people off. You think it's cute. You brag about it. I got them told, didn't I? Oh, yeah, I feel so much better. Do you really? I told them off. I gave them a piece of my mind today. Keep on giving pieces away if you want. There's only so much so much to go around. Draw nigh to him. Draw nigh to God. God will draw nigh to you. Now, real quick, I want to tell you about some of the effects of bitterness. Number one, bitterness will devastate you spiritually. First of all, because it causes you to walk in the flesh and not by the spirit. See, we all have a choice every day and several times a day to take steps in the flesh or to take steps in the spirit. We can't control what happens in life, but we can control how we respond. Go to Galatians 6. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Holding bitterness is walking in the flesh. And when you sow into the flesh, it'll eat you up on the inside. And let me tell you this. It's impossible to be wrong with man and right with God at the same time. If you have bitterness against folk, you are not right with God. Come on, look at somebody right next to you. Say, if you have bitterness with people, you are not right with God. And now let me say this to you as it relates to this scripture. Don't get tired of doing what's right. See, the enemy wants you to feel like doing good or doing what's right according to the word of God is not working for you. But that's only for a season. You're going to reap a great harvest if you don't get tired of doing what's right. I know the flesh wants you to retaliate. But you got to just keep doing what's right. And we have a promise from God that we're going to reap a great harvest. Some of us, man, we'll do right for a certain time. And then we get to that place right when the harvest is getting ready to come. The devil knows what button to push. Right when the breakthrough is coming, then we give up. Then we quit. But if you don't quit, you don't give up, don't get tired of doing what's right. See, nobody can stop you when you do what's right. Nobody can stop you. Number two, we talked about this on last week. Bitterness will destroy you physically. It enters your subconscious and it runs while you're sleeping, it runs while you're eating, and it runs whatever you're doing. Bitterness has been medically linked to high blood pressure, heart problems, ulcers, and even insanity. A leading psychiatrist wrote that 90% of the people in an insane asylum could be released if they would just learn how to forgive or how to be forgiven. And though we can't see what's happening on the inside, often we see visible outer results of bitterness. See, bitterness is like a machine that's using our bodies for its energy source. It runs while you're sleeping. It's running while you're awake. It never shuts down, and it's draining your energy. It's impossible to be bitter very long without that bitterness affecting your body. Bitterness is a killer. It's a killer. Is it that important to you? I've had relatives that were just bitter on the inside, and then look 10 years older than they were. They're walking around with frowns on their faces. And I mean, just frowning all the time, just bitter. Big, I mean, frowns, and you know, you frown long enough, they're going to stay. You keep inviting frowns in, they're going to stay. They'll hang out right here between the eyes. They'll just stay right there. You're like a little bulldog right there. It affects you physically. It affects you physically. Bitterness will discourage you emotionally. Where there's bitterness, there's discouragement. Because bitterness leads to paranoia. You develop the mentality that everybody's out to get you. Everybody's out to get you? I mean, really? Everybody's out to get you? Who are you? Everybody's out to get you? You become negative, critical, paranoid. You become judgmental of others and think that you know their motives. You always think that people are talking about you. Everybody talk about you? Because you're bitter, you think that everybody's heart is like yours. So you think, so you are. Bitterness can drive you crazy. You get to the place where you don't trust nobody. I wonder what they want. God will try to bring people in your life to help you. No. You know, when you don't trust nobody, you can't be trusted. Oh, that ain't go good at all. I don't care. Listen. I mean, at some point, we've got to get to the place where we're going to believe the best out of people unless they show us something different. But you can't take your past experiences and tie them to everybody. Bitterness will have you paranoid. You like a man driving with warrants. I'm in the traffic, man. I'm driving, speed limit could be 30, 45 miles an hour, and you got somebody driving 30 miles an hour. Oh, man. You pass them up, and this is just me. If I'm wrong, Lord, forgive me. I pass them up, and I'm looking at them like, you got warrants. I won't bring no attention from the police here, baby. But it makes you paranoid. Think everybody talking about you. You walk up, people having a wonderful conversation. You walk up, they get quiet. There you go. I know they were talking about me. I know they were talking about me. You know, they just got quiet as soon as I walked out. They got quiet because it wasn't your business. Don't be bitter. You won't have to deal with that. Number four, bitterness will ruin relationships. There's a spillover effect with bitterness. See, you don't have to be bitter towards your spouse for it to ruin your marriage. You can be bitter towards your parents and it can affect how you relate to your spouse. You can be bitter towards another preacher and it can ruin your relationship with me. Because bitterness has a spillover effect. Causes you to paint everybody with a broad brush. Number five, bitterness can divide the fellowship. Now, DCC, we're on a great roll. We have great momentum moving in the right direction. But if we want to hinder what God is doing here, we can just let bitterness creep in. Now, here's the truth. We're all human, and sometimes we give each other reasons to be offended, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not. But sometimes we need just a good old-fashioned dose of growing up. Sometimes we just need to grow up and get over some stuff. At some point, we've got to get to the place where we just mature. At some point, I mean, God, you've been in church for 20, 30 years, and you're still spiritually a babe? Come on. At some point, you got to mature. I've been pastoring almost 18 years. Well, I've been pastoring over 18 years now. I've been lied to, lied on, criticized. My sincerity has been questioned. But maturity demands me to blow it off. Because it's to be expected if you're going to do what's right. Yeah. You're not the first person to get hurt in church. You're not the first person to get hurt on the job. You're not the first person to go through something in your home. Nobody, listen to this, nobody can stop you when your heart is right. We just need to grow up. We need to grow up. Everybody got to dance around you. Everybody got to walk on tiptoes around you because you're so easily hurt. You're looking for somebody to hurt you. We got to grow up. Tell your neighbor, say, we have to grow up. And man, don't talk about church. Man, people come to church looking for a reason to get mad. Or looking for a reason to find fault. I don't know now. I mean, I kind of like this church, but I know something got to be wrong with me. There's something wrong. Something wrong, huh? There's something wrong. Yeah. I sat next to so-and-so, they didn't even speak to me. Look right at me. I guess because I had on a new dress, you know. Pastor was preaching, look right at me. I ain't looking at you. You don't imagine the times, man. I've had people, I know you was talking to me. You look right at me. I didn't even know you were here. Let me help you out. When people they look mad and mean and all that stuff in church, I don't look at them. So if you don't want me looking at you, just frown. I want the people that's hungry for this word. So man, we look for stuff wrong, man. Yeah, man. Something going on, man. I don't know, man. Look, his wife got up. She couldn't hold it no longer. She been sitting there all those years taking that abuse, man. Look, they'll leave here today. Yeah, man, she finally went off in church today, man. She jumped up right in the middle of his sermon and said, don't you dare say that. And look, man, he got mad, and then she started swinging on him. And y'all laughing, but people have their own versions of stories. Oh, glory to God. Look, real quick, I got to close. Let me give you three quick steps on how to get rid of bitterness. Number one, admit that it's wrong and forgive the one that has wronged you. We read this last week, Mark 11, 25 and 26 says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. You can't get it if you won't give it. You're going to need forgiveness. See, you're going to have, if you refuse to forgive, the Bible's clear that if you don't give it, you can't get it. So you have to live perfect in word, thought, and deed for the rest of your life. Now, you know you can't do that. So you might as well let the person go so you can be forgiven. Number two, pray for the one that you've been harboring bitterness towards. Now, listen to this. It's difficult to harbor bitterness towards somebody that you're truly praying for. You can't have bitterness in your heart and you're truly praying for this person. You know that? I mean, praying for their good. Lord, bless him. Yeah. Take care of him, Lord. Let him have it. Give it to him. The Lord's like, what? What you want me to give you? I don't know. Just something to make him pray. No, but if you're sincerely praying for somebody, you can't have bitterness in your heart. I mean, if you're praying for their good and their well-being, you can't have bitterness in your heart. So pray for them. Number three, this is important. Memorize scriptures relating to unforgiveness. See, what this does is it gives the Holy Spirit the tools to use when you're tempted to slip back into bitterness. Scriptures like Mark 11, 25 and 26. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. Romans 12, 17 through 21. I'm going to read Romans 12, 17 through 21 in the Message Bible real quick. This is my last scripture. Romans 12, 17 through 21. Listen to this. Don't hit back. Yeah, I lost 75% of y'all just now. Discover beauty in everyone. Discover beauty in everyone. If you got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. God says, I'll take care of it. Now, when God says, I'm going to take care of it, God means he's going to take care of it. He's not like your president. I heard him the other day said, we're going to take care of it. And I'm praying, Lord, don't let him take care of it, please. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Come on, keep looking up. I saw some heads drop when I said that. If you see your enemy hungry, go buy them lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Listen to this. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. I need you to tell your neighbor that. I need you to look at somebody in their eyes. If they won't look at you in your eyes, look in their ear. But I want you to look at your neighbor and say to them, don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. I'll close with this. Forgiveness is a tremendous step of faith that you have in God, your Father, and knowing that he's a just God. On the cross, Jesus says, forgive them because they know not what they do. But from the exterior, it looked like they knew exactly what they were doing. And sometimes it looks like people know exactly what they're doing when they are offending you. The truth is, they don't know what they're doing on the spiritual level. Even though they may know what they're doing on a natural level. But we've got to be like Jesus and forgive them. We have to be like Jesus and forgive them. We have to be like Jesus. You imagine? Can you imagine them putting nails in his hands? Can you imagine them piercing him in his side? Can you imagine them putting rivets through his feet? You imagine they whipped him? They whipped him with a whip with metal on the end. They took a crown of thorns and crushed it on his head. When he was thirsty, they gave him vinegar. And through all of that, he says, forgive them. Now you think about what you're holding on to versus what they did to Jesus. Think about what somebody did to you and think about what they did to him. And he was still able to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You're holding folk in your heart. And he paid that price just for you. Let's take it a little farther now. This is my third close. Let's take it a little farther. He did all of that just for us. And we still do wrong. I told him, if they ever do that to me again, it was over. You just won't let it go. I warned him. Disciple ran up to Jesus and thought he was saying something big. How often should I forgive my enemies? Should I do it 7 times? Thought he was saying something big. Jesus says, no, 7 times 7. Well, you know that's 490, huh? you know that's 490 times. In other words, he was saying, don't put no limit. Don't put a limit on the forgiveness, because I haven't had a limit on yours. Think about it, man. We've heard him over and over and over again, and he's been right there for us. And we promise him, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll never do this again. And we go back and do the same thing. And you mean to tell me you got the nerve to hold somebody in your heart?
Yes, Lord. Okay.
Who pierced you in the side? Who put a nail through your hands? Who whipped you with a whip with iron on the end all night? Who crushed thorns on your head? And you can't forgive? We gotta let this go. We gotta get rid of this bitterness. We ain't going into 2018 with this stuff. We're going in free so God's blessings can have a free flow. Let's all stand. Tell somebody, let it go. Let it go. Lord, today we love you. We honor you. We praise you. Thank you for your word. We're not going to do the normal thing, just come here and hear and leave out and not do. Today, God, we take your word. We apply it to our lives. Thank you right now, God, for the results of our obedience. Some of us are sitting here, God, and thank you for your word, because it's a mirror. You've allowed us to see ourselves. Some of us have looked in the mirror and we didn't like what we saw. We're not going to walk away and not change. We're going to change today. I thank you now for the help of the Holy Spirit. Help us to do what we're not able to do on our own. I thank you now, God, for deliverance. We declare now that we have victory over bitterness. We have victory over unforgiveness. And I thank you right now that we are set free. We're free. We're free. We're free. We're free. In the name of Jesus. We're forgetting those things that are behind us. And today we choose to press forward. Hallelujah. I know that you have great things in store for our lives. And I know that we can't get there with the weight of yesterday on us. So we shake off the shackles of yesterday. We shake off the weights of yesterday. Thank you for setting us free. We release every person. We release persons. We release situations that's been harboring in our hearts, that's been holding us back. And today, God, we declare that we are free. Yes. No longer to go back into bondage, but we are free. 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 Oh, glory to God. Thank you now, God, as we're being set free. Our bodies are lining up with your word and with your will as we're being set free, God. Our families are being healed. Our marriages are being healed. Our children are being delivered as we're set free today, God, as we release. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. As we release the things that we've been harboring in our hearts, we see by faith the release of your blessings in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Nothing can stop us now, God. Nothing can stop us now. Glory to God. Our families are better than ever. Our marriages are better than ever. Our children are great. Our homes are homes of love, joy, peace, and understanding. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
We hope the word you've just heard has blessed you. If you'd like to order other messages or series, please go online to destinychristian.org or call 985-653-9006. Thank you for being a part of this ministry. Destiny Christian Center. Destiny demands diligence, so never quit. God bless you.